tries to... When you want it to go fast, it goes slow. Okay, we'll be reading from the book of Hebrews this morning, chapter 11. Sorry, just a technology issue. Okay, verse 17 to 20. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had embraced the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead, and so in a manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future.
Well, good morning and welcome once again to Brookside Baptist Church. And it would probably help if the batteries were the right way. One. Oh, that's embarrassing. Alrighty, how does that? The light's on, the words are coming through. Welcome once again to Brookside Baptist Church. And in case you didn't hear it the first or second time, welcome. It's great to be together for another week. I hope over the past 7 days or since we've last spoke, you've had a chance, a moment in time where you have stopped and thought about God and what He wants from you and your life. Maybe you've done that in a small group. Maybe it's through personal devotions. But let me encourage you to continue to seek God at every opportunity. So last week, we started to explore a new idea. We started to explore the heroes or the pillars of our faith. See, we often talk about our heroes, and we often talk about them in the sense of all the good things that they do. But we know reality, don't we? We know what life can be like. Sometimes things are hard. We face challenges, and dare I say it, at times we might even make wrong choices. Hopefully you saw last week as we explored Abraham, the pillar, the starting point of Judaism, the Jewish people, which led to Christ, which has led to us, that Abraham faced challenges. He had some hard things and hard decisions to make. And you know what? Sometimes he got that incredibly not good. He made mistakes. But yet, Abraham is a hero of the faith. He's someone we look to and go, if only I had faith like Abraham, if only I could fully trust God to, I don't know, leave my home and spend the rest of my life in a tent. Today we turn to Abraham's son, Isaac. Do you know what the name Isaac means? Laughter. I had to chuckle. As I'm reading about laughter, I don't know, laughter, laugh, chuckle, get it, joke, ha, he, ha, ha. All right, you're with me. Okay, one commentator pointed out that maybe they called him Isaac because Sarah laughed at the idea of being in her 80s or 90s and having a child. Like, that's got to be a funny joke, right? It's like the biggest joke that people could have had. Another commentator talked about maybe she called her son Laughter because she wanted a daily reminder that nothing was too difficult for God. A third suggested that maybe she gave him this name because of the happiness that God had brought to her and everyone else around by giving them a son. Abraham and Sarah's deepest, fondest desire. So we come to the story of Isaac, the laughter of Sarah. Isaac lived primarily in the land of Canaan, and he lived in that nomad lifestyle. He, like his father, spent his life living in tents, often moving from place to place because he needed to feed his large herd. Now, when we come to Isaac, we know that he lived in this area, Canaan, and what we also know is, at that time, there was a group of people called the Philistines. In case you don't know, the Philistines will cause Israel a little bit of problems coming up. But what we also know is, at this time, the people were polytheists. Now, anyone want to take a guess what polytheist means? Many gods, yeah? They had this concept of there were many gods out there. And they, not only that, they were also what they considered to be animists. They were people who believed that God was in the trees, that God was in the, you know, the animals, and these are the things that they worshipped. And here is Isaac. And Isaac is saying, I only believe in one God. In a time when there were many different false gods, when there were many different idols in the land. Mate, I'm talking about 1900 BC. It would have been a challenging time. Now, we've all been, well, I shouldn't say we all have, maybe you've been to Sunday school, have heard the old Bible stories about Isaac, about his birth. Man, it's got to be the second most amazing birth in the Bible, perhaps in the history of the world, besides Jesus and the virgin birth. I mean, these people were old, okay? They, no, no more jokes like that. His mother was 90, Abraham, his father, was 100, and Isaac's birth was this promise that God had made to Abraham 20 years before. Could you imagine trusting in God and his promise for 20 years? Abraham, again, we say, is that example of faith. And there's a picture of a man who trusted God. 20 years he believed that he would have a son. God will always keep his promises to his people. And nothing is too complicated or difficult to him. Like Abraham, Isaac is one of the patriarchs of the Jewish people. He was one of the first post-flood committed followers of God. But if you've been to Sunday school, you also know another part of Isaac's story. And this Isaac story is a picture, a foreshadow, an image of Christ. We heard about it in our reading, Hebrews 11, 7 to 19. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had embraced the promise was about to sacrifice his one and only son. Oh, I've heard that somewhere before, haven't we? God willing to sacrifice his one and only son. In verse 18, we see that Abraham went, you know what? Isaac was meant to be the one who I will be reckoned. This will be the start. Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead. Wait a second. There's another Christ picture there, right? a God who sacrifices his only son, who is raised from the dead. Now, Abraham did receive Isaac back from the dead, but this is a pre-image. This is a coming attractions of what God will do. So when Abraham received him back from the dead as a type of Christ's future resurrection, Jesus and Isaac were both the only sons and sons of promises. They were both descendants from Abraham. But it goes even further. Sorry, if I go back that photo. Both of them carried their own wood for their sacrifice. And they were both obedient to their father's will. Even to the point of willing to die. See, sometimes in our Sunday school stories, we get the picture wrong. We imagine that Isaac is a small infant or maybe a young toddler. No. The Bible tells us that he was like 18 when it was time to sacrifice him. Could you imagine that? I'm like, 18, you'd be pretty cluey, wouldn't you? Dad, why am I carrying all this wood up there? Just trust. Both Isaac and Jesus were delivered up by the power of God. But as we've been saying, these pillars of faith, these aren't perfect people. They're not mistakeless heroes, but rather they're real people and they had real examples. In Genesis 25:28, it shows us that Isaac and Rebekah, his wife, both made the same mistake. They both chose a child to be their favorite. They showed favoritism to their child. Isaac liked Esau, and you know, who doesn't like Esau? He's a manly man, he's got a nice big beard, really, you know, bloke, well, yeah, I'm a man. And then Rebekah liked Jacob. Maybe he hung around the house a little bit more, I don't know, but this choosing, this favoritism, was because evidently Isaac felt more in common with Esau and Rebekah had more in common with Jacob. But they chose sides. Yeah? Now, I'm not going to out any parent right now saying, you know, have you got a favorite child? You know. Sometimes I admit I see myself in one child more than the other. And then a little while later, I'll see myself more in the other than the first. But this favoritism, this choosing of one over the other, it leads to a lot of problems in the future for Isaac and Rebekah. But this wasn't his only mistake. His other mistake was found in Genesis 26, Isaac followed his father's example by claiming his wife was actually his sister. And he did this to save his own life. One commentator said, well, like father, like son is often true. But surely it would be unlikely that Abraham took Isaac aside and said, mate, whenever you get into trouble and there's a chance you can get out of it, just say your missus is your sister. But by doing this, by making that claim, Isaac sets himself up for this near disaster. One commentator suggested that surely Abraham has given these stories, and he's given these stories to Isaac as an example. Hey, don't do this, otherwise you'll get into trouble. And if that's the case, then it begs the question, well, why did Isaac do it? Why did he make the same mistake? Why did he claim his wife to be his sister? I wonder if it was a cultural practice at the time. I wonder if perhaps husbands occasionally referred to their wives as their sisters to protect them. I wonder if lying, maybe lying was just simply part of their culture, the deceitfulness. Maybe that was the common cultural practice. But I want to put to you that this flaw here is actually a really profound character flaw. It's a flaw that both Abraham and Isaac had. And that's this. They valued themselves higher than someone else. In this case, their wives. They were willing to put others in danger, their wives in danger, in order to mean that they would be safe. You go, well, why is that a big character flaw? Do it all the time. You know? Kids come in and say, who ate the last chocolate? And I say, Daryl did it. Wait, no, Barbara did it. In the Bible, the first sin recorded is about disobeying God. It's about people saying, I see myself as greater. I need all of that. The second sin. And dare I say, the second sin that is the root of all other sins is that this person over here matters less than I do. It comes in the form of the story of Cain who murdered Abel. Cain's sacrifice was rejected. Abel's was accepted. Cain felt jealousy and thought that he should be number one. So he put Abel to death. And this putting themselves above others is a story that is reflected in Noah. The world had become so corrupt and full of violence. I see myself as greater than you over there. We're better. We are greater. Isaac has this huge character flaw. But yet, Isaac is considered to be one of these great heroes of faith. He's a person who said, I'm more important than my wife. Let me tell you why he actually is. Abraham was obedient. Isaac was too. As a child, Isaac, as we said, was part of Abraham's most significant tests. God told Abraham to sacrifice Isaac. We know that Abraham was obedient. But how about our Isaac? At no point in the story does he try to run away. The story doesn't say that he threw a temper tantrum. As we said, he was probably in his teen years when he went up to be sacrificed. He obeyed his father. He even helped carry the wood for the sacrifice. He even questions Abraham at one stage. We're going to do a sacrifice, but we haven't got like an animal. What are we sacrificing here? Did he not realize until they arrived that his father tied him up that, oh, maybe I should have grabbed some sheep on the way up the hill? But even at that point, we don't see any resistance from Isaac. He trusted his father so much. He was obedient to his father's will. And what was his father saying? It'll be okay. God will provide. Everything will be okay. God will provide. Not only was Isaac obedient to his father, but he also kept his faith in God. In Genesis 26 again, we see that everywhere that Isaac went around, he would often build these altars to God, these places to offer sacrifices and to come and pray. God appeared to him and he gave him commandments. And you know what Isaac did? He obeyed them. He demonstrated through faith. One of the reasons we celebrate Isaac as one of the pillars is that he had a faith in God that was genuine and personal. I mean, wherever he would roam, like, he would build altars to God. He talked to God on more than one occasion. And when things went well, do you know what he said? To glory be God. See, as we said, you know, we like to talk about our heroes in those positive, yay, senses. And then we'll do the pendulum shift, yeah? Like, we'll want to go all the way and just talk about all their flaws and weaknesses. But we need to remember that this is the same person. The people who are sinners and have issues, the people who need Jesus, the people who find Jesus, the people who are redeemed are all the same person. And that includes us. Imagine yourself living in a place, living in a time when there are virtually no other followers of God anywhere in the world. Imagine now that you're the leader of a group that knows about this God that no one else is surrounding, and you're trying to bring your family up in this. I mean, one commentator talked about how he's just surrounded by idol worship and pagan practices, false deities and evil. There was no church for him to go to and ask for help. There was no group of people, no fellowship for him to attend for encouragement. There's not even a Bible. There's not even the first five books. There was no clear guide on what he should do or how he should do it. Yet, through all of these challenges, Isaac still said, God, I want to follow you. Now, he made mistakes, but he followed God until the day he died. Another one of Isaac's significant characteristics was he was a peacemaker. He's not someone who was easily drawn into conflict. There were times when Isaac's men would dig a well. They were going to stay there for a while, so they would dig a well. And then the Philistines would come over and say, nice well you got there, but why are you standing next to my well? They would take it. And then they would mistreat Isaac's people. Did you pick that up? Isaac dug a well. The Philistines moved in, claimed it as their own. And instead of, you know, getting all prideful and fighting and demanding that their rights be satisfied, that Isaac dug the well, it's my well, he simply went and said, you know what? It's going to cost me more than it's going to get me. I'm just going to leave that. And he just moved. He went somewhere else and he dug another well. And the Philistines came and took that one as well. And instead of going, you know what, you're interrupting my rights, he went, you know what, you have it. And he moved on and dug another well. Abraham let it go. He demonstrated a lot of wisdom and humility. He was a peacemaker. So what can we learn from Isaac's life? Well, commentators talk about four things. The first one is that God answers prayers. If you read the story of Isaac, he spends time praying. He prays for a wife. He gets Rebekah. He prays that she would be allowed to conceive. And God hears those prayers. So we can learn from Abraham that our God and us have a personal relationship. He listens to our prayers and he knows what is best for us. The second thing that God shows us through the story of Isaac is that it is better to trust him and it is wiser to love him than it is to lie. We're often tempted, aren't we, to lie to protect ourselves? No, Barbara, I didn't finish the chocolate. It must have been Ethan. What is it with me and chocolate today? I don't know. I've shared the story with you previously, haven't I, where I was a delivery driver for a built-in wardrobe company and I put a scratch on the work van. And I had that internal debate driving back to the workshop. What do I do here? Do I go up and be honest, knowing that my boss at that particular time was a little bit fire happy? He was looking for excuses to get rid of people. He didn't tolerate much. Or do I just, oh no, that's always been there. And that internal struggle that's going on. Do you guys experience these things? Maybe it's not a work van, maybe you're not a delivery driver, but still, we have these thoughts, don't we? Oh, I could tell this little lie to get myself out of trouble. The Bible shows us that when we do that, it usually has harmful consequences. God reminds us that it is worthy to trust him, to put our trust fully in him. I owned up, just in case you're wondering where that story went. Yeah, just in case you're going, oh, what'd you do? I owned up, and they just went, what? It's a little scratch about this big. What are you talking about? I don't care. Anyway, the third thing that we need to learn from the story of Isaac is if you're a parent, don't show favoritism. Showing favoritism in a family can often cause division and hurt. And this can often form harm and hatred that can never be fixed. Each child has a unique gift that should be encouraged. Doesn't mean that at some stage you like one child more than the other. It means you don't show favoritism all the time. And the other lesson is this picture of Christ that we see way back in Genesis. This picture of a father willing to sacrifice his only son for the sins of the world. Abraham believed that even if he sacrificed Isaac, God would raise him from the dead. Abraham said to his servant, "Stay here with the donkey while the boy and I and go over there and we will worship and we will come back to you." May I also suggest that God's not suggesting to you that you need to sacrifice one of your children. But this is a picture of what is to come. So my friends, Isaac reminds us that sometimes, despite our best and worst laid plans, life happens, things happen around us that are beyond our control. And through it all, through the ups and the downs, we need to remember, I need to remember, that God is still in control. God is still God. If I'm going through a hard time, it does not mean that God has left me or abandoned me. It doesn't necessarily mean that he's punishing us for our sins, but rather it is an opportunity for us to love and trust God more. Abraham and Isaac remind me that it is never okay to treat others as less than yourself. Abraham and Isaac both show us that the heroes of faith have flaws and made mistakes, and they should be a reminder that we don't need to be perfect to be used by God. We have to be willing and we have to be genuine. My friends, these are two of the pillars of faith. Two examples for us to hold on to. Two examples to look at when we're struggling. But both of them were willing to follow God. And both of them spent their life trying their hardest to be genuine towards Him. May that be the cry of our hearts as well. Let's pray. Father God, we want to thank you, Lord. We thank you for what Abraham and Isaac, the example that they are in faith. Lord, these people who genuinely desired to be in deep and meaningful relationship with you. Father, we thank you for their example. We thank you for the flaws that they had. And we thank you for the good things that they show us. Lord, because they remind us that you're not looking for perfect people, you're looking for genuine and willing people. Because Lord, let's face it, without you, we can't be perfect. And Father, we also want to thank you for this story within the story, this foreshadow, this picture of what is to come. Your Son dying on a cross to redeem us from our sinful nature. So, Father, we just praise you for these things. We worship you because you deserve it all. From the very beginning, you had it planned. So, Father, we thank you for that. Father, we thank you for this time, and we pray these things in your Son's name. Amen. I'd like to invite the music team to come and lead us once again.